partnership agreement. So, Trevor, you've got a few words to say for us about that.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Right, it was 5 years ago on the second Sunday in February 2016, seems a long while now, that Kingsthorpe Baptist Church and Kingsthorpe Methodist Church first met for regular worship together. And then on the second Sunday in February last year, a formal partnership agreement was prepared, and that was signed by a representative of each of our churches. Within that agreement, it states that on the second Sunday in February should be considered as the anniversary of that partnership. And today is obviously the second Sunday in February 2021. It further states that it is hoped that this occasion can be celebrated during the service on that day. So in a few moments' time, I'm going to lead us in a prayer for our continued joint commitment. It also says in the partnership agreement that there should be the possibility of having a shared lunch after the service. Well, obviously this year we won't be doing that, but I would like to just make a suggestion that today, when we're all having our own lunch in our own houses, maybe we can just take just a few moments just to think of one or more people in our joint fellowship that if things had been different, we might have been sitting at the same table with. So I do sort of encourage you just to do that little act over lunch today, just to remember somebody or more than one person as a sort of a celebration of our agreement. So let's now enter into prayer. Creating and redeeming God, we give thanks and praise. We come on this day to reaffirm the partnership agreement made between Kingsthorpe Baptist Church and Kingsthorpe Methodist Church. We promise to watch over all our friends and companions as we walk together before you in ways that are known to us and also in ways that are still to be made known. In our congregation, we commit all we have and are to fulfill God's purpose of love. Pour your Spirit upon us. Help us to walk in your ways, that the life we live together may become an offering of love and a delight, truly glorifying you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Trevor. It's lovely to be able to join you today. I snuck in on the grounds that Francis is still on paternity leave after he and Faith had their baby, and all seems to be going well. So that's good, and we give thanks to God for that. It's also my first live Zoom service. I've recorded loads, but I've never actually done one live as it happens. But I'm looking forward to it and to worshiping together with you. We're going to move into worship with two worship songs, The Splendor of the King, the chorus, How Great is Our God, and then Meekness and Majesty, Oh, What a Mystery, This is Our God. It is the anniversary Sunday of the agreement. It's also Valentine's Day. It's also the last Sunday before Lent, which means that in the sort of the general lectionary, at the point where we think about Jesus' transfiguration before we then go into Lent. So that's going to be the main theme of our worship this morning. And we've got readers and a dramatic reading and things all to come. but let's move into worship as we sing these first two songs, one after the other. How great is our God, meekness and majesty.
Age to age, we stand. meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility and washes our feet. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty, bow down and worship, for this is your obedience to death on the cross, suffering to give us life, conquering through sacrifice, and as they crucify, praise Father, forgive. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty, bow down. God be invisible, love indestructible, in frailty appears. Lord of infinity, stooping so tenderly, lifts our humanity to the heights of his throne. Oh, what a mystery, meekness, majesty, down and worship, for this is your God, this is your God. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty, bow down and worship.
Graham Kendrick, who actually composed the song as well. He's, as all of us, getting on a bit. Sorry, I am anyway. Let's move into prayer. Bow down and worship, for this is our God. Loving God, we have come to worship you. Help us to remember that even though we're not together physically, we can see and hear each other, and that you are here with us, everyone. Help us to worship you with all of our heart and mind and strength. May we pray to you in faith. Proclaim your praise with gratitude and listen to your word with eagerness. For you alone are eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And a prayer of confession. God of mercy, your love for us is strong, but our love for you is weak. You call us to follow Jesus, but we are slow to obey. You care for all you have made, but we ignore the needs of others and misuse your creation. Forgive us and free us for joyful obedience. Renew in us the desire and give us the power to do what pleases you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that our whole life might be used in your service and bring you glory and praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. God is faithful and just. God is love. God forgives our sins through Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. You can move us on now, Adrian. That's it. This morning's gospel reading comes from Mark chapter 9, as you can see there. It follows on from Mark chapter 8. Logical. Which, of course, we all know is where Peter finally made a declaration that Jesus was the Messiah. And from that moment on, the tone of Jesus' teaching changed. As soon as that was voiced, he began talking increasingly about going to Jerusalem, his suffering, his death and resurrection to come. And then a week later, or so, about 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James and John up the mountain to pray. And now their still tentative belief and understanding that he is the Messiah and what that means is taken to a whole new level. Graham's going to read for us.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain where they were alone. As they looked on, a change came over Jesus and his clothes became shining white, whiter than anyone in the world could wash them. Then the three disciples saw Elijah and Moses talking with Jesus. Peter spoke up and said to Jesus, "Teacher, how good it is that we are here. We will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses and one for Elijah." He and the others were so frightened, they did not know what to say. Then a cloud appeared and covered them with its shadow, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, listen to him." They took a quick look round, but did not see anyone else. Only Jesus was with them. As they came down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Don't tell anyone else what you have seen until the Son of Man has risen from death." They obeyed his order, but among themselves, they started discussing the matter. "What does this rising from death mean?" And they asked Jesus, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah has to come first?" His answer was, "Elijah is indeed coming first in order to get everything ready. Yet why do the scriptures say that the Son of Man will suffer much and be rejected? I tell you, however, that Elijah has already come and that people treated him just as they pleased, as the scriptures say about him."
Thank you, Graham. And now Sheila's going to lead us in a dramatic monologue, which is an exploration of what Peter's thoughts and feelings might have been. Thanks, Sheila.
I wanted to hold on to that moment forever, to keep things just as they were for the rest of eternity. for I feared life would never be so special again. It was just the four of us. Well, six if you count Moses and Elijah, but I'm not sure you can do that. The four of us sharing a blessed moment of peace and quiet. No crowds pleading for a miracle. No lepers begging for healing. No Pharisees baying for his blood. No Sadducees spoiling for a fight. Just us, together, as we'd all too rarely been. And we knew it couldn't last. He'd made that perfectly clear when I dared to suggest otherwise. There was trouble round the corner. His enemies were waiting to pounce, and he knew it was only a matter of time before they got him. Not much of a prospect, was it? Rejection, suffering, death. I don't know how he stuck it. I really don't. But we didn't want to think about such things. Not then, anyway. And up there on the mountain, it all seemed a million miles away. Out of sight, out of mind. Can you blame me for wanting to stay? For wanting to hang on to the moment for as long as possible? Only I couldn't, of course. You can't stop the clock, can you? And make the world stand still. You can't store those golden moments safely away, untarnished by the march of time. Life goes on, as they say, and you have to go with it, like it or not. It was hard to accept that. Hard to go back to the daily round with its familiar demands and expectations. Yet, as I spoke to Jesus coming down the mountain, I realised suddenly it had to be, that there was no other way. Going back, I mean. Without that, there would have been no point. Those sacred moments, an empty illusion. He knew that. And slowly, very slowly, I came to know it too. It was a vital time, a special time. One that gave him new strength, new resolve, the inspiration he needed to face the future and fulfill his destiny. But it was as much for us as it was for him, a moment we could look back upon, so that afterwards we might keep on looking forward.
Thank you, Sheila. Our second reading comes from a letter from Peter, the same Peter, to the church much later on, toward the end of his life. And he's thinking back and talking again about that day, that time, that moment on the mountain. And Diane is going to read that for us.
And so I will always remind you of these matters, even though you already know them and are firmly grounded in the truth you have received. I think it only right for me to stir up in your memory of these matters as long as I am still alive. I know that I shall soon put off this mortal body, as our Lord Jesus Christ plainly told me. I will do my best then to provide a way for you to remember these matters at all times after my death. We have not depended on made-up stories in making known to you the mighty coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. With our own eyes, we saw his greatness. We were there when he was given honour and glory by God the Father. When the voice came to him from the supreme glory, saying, "This is my own dear Son, with whom I am pleased. We ourselves heard this voice coming from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we are even more confident of the message proclaimed by the prophets. You will do well to pay attention to it, because it is like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the light of the morning star shines in your hearts. Above all else, however, remember that no one can explain by himself a prophecy in the scriptures, for no prophetic message ever came just from the will of man, but men were under the control of the Holy Spirit as they spoke the message that came from God.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you. Hopefully, it doesn't seem too informal. It doesn't seem too formal with me standing, but that's the way I'm used to to talking. You can hear me, okay? Yeah. Yeah. Still hear me, okay? Yeah. Good. Do you ever do that thing where you start thinking about something? Maybe even have a little bit of a conversation that goes on in your head, and then. Without warning, you bring your wife or husband or a friend into the conversation halfway through, asking a question, and they've got no idea what you're talking about. You do that occasionally? We do. I do wonder whether that was what happened for Peter. He had one of those kinds of moments on the mountaintop, a bit of a panic, and he was trying desperately to process what was happening. What is going on? Oh, crikey, or maybe Ivey, is that Moses and Elijah? What do we do? Luke tells us that Jesus, Moses and Elijah were talking about Jesus' exodus. And it may even be this incident was somewhere around the time when Israel celebrated the exodus with the Feast of Tabernacles. And then suddenly the conversation pops out of Peter's head and he begins to talk. And he says, would you like us to build some tabernacles for you, Lord, some tents for Moses and you and Elijah? I don't know, maybe. Fortunately, what was actually going on was so much bigger than Peter realized at that time that it doesn't seem to have mattered too much. And God made his presence known through a cloud. And then he spoke wonderful words of affirmation about Jesus, his beloved son. Last time at Jesus' baptism, only Jesus understood what God had said. But this time, the three disciples also heard and understood what God was saying too. This is my most dearly loved son. Listen to him. Some may want to interpret the story as Jesus having had some kind of mystical vision, but the episode is pretty clearly described as an actual event in all three of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And what's more, there are those four human witnesses who all agree and all saw and heard the same. We don't need to feel obliged to explain it, certainly not to explain it away or reduce a supernatural moment to make it more acceptable to earthly minds. Actually, that kind of theorizing seems far less plausible than taking the witness's description as an actual event. And the events of the Transfiguration are supernatural, and they are powerful signs for Jesus and the disciples, preparing and encouraging, giving strength for what's ahead, taking their still tentative belief in Jesus as Messiah to a whole new level. It was such an encouragement, a great encouragement for the disciples to have witnessed and experienced being in God's presence with Jesus. Much later in one of his letters, Peter wrote, "We're not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when he received honor
and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Amazing, isn't it? At the end of his life, Peter was still drawing on this experience as a most vital source of strength and faith, and to encourage the early church, even though they were going through difficult times. For us too, this is not primarily for us to dissect and understand scientifically how Jesus came to be even brighter than new Daz, but for us to know that it really happened. It really happened. To catch a glimpse of Jesus' glory and just how wonderful it is that God's Son truly came to our world for love of us, that we might respond in awe and worship. We also see the impact it had on the three disciples, and it's powerful in encouragement to us too, to take time to seek and to dwell in God's presence, to worship, to remind ourselves who Jesus really is, his glory and his power, and draw courage and strength, to be affirmed in the Father's love for us, just as for Jesus himself, and changed by that love, renewed as carriers of God's presence into the world around us, and to follow wherever he may take us, however challenging. As the Father has loved me, so I love you, says Jesus. We are loved with the same wonderful love that God spoke over Jesus. Take a moment. Think back, remember when you have known God's presence closest. Dwell in that moment again. Dwell in God's presence. And give thanks. Thank you, Lord, that you are always with us when we sense it most and when we really aren't feeling it at all. Nevertheless, you are faithful and you are there. Fill us and renew us in your love, that those around us may see and know something more of you, your glory, and your love. Amen. be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor he is crowned. How awesome is the sight! Our radiant King of light, be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. We sing together.
The presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come bow before Him now with reverence and fear. In Him no sin is found, we stand on holy ground. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. Burns with holy fire, with splendor he is crowned. How awesome is the sight! Our radiant King of light, be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining. Is moving in this place. Is moving in this place. Be still.
No work too hard for Him. In faith, receive from Him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place, ministering His grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As we look upon and remember this episode in your life with the disciples and catch a glimpse of your glory, and that you are so much more than just a man and a hero of our faith, but
you are God. We come with confidence before you to bring our prayers, trusting, believing, confident that you hear and take and use all our prayers. We bring our prayers to you this morning, Lord, for those whom we will meet this week. For the places that you will take us this week. We bring our prayers to you, Lord, for those in need of love today, for those in need of hope today. We bring you prayers, O God, for peace in our world, for situations in specific countries. On this day of anniversary, Father, we again bring our prayers for our shared life as your people, your church. For unity, for vision, for insight as to where you are leading. We pray for growth. We pray that as we minister together as your people, you would draw others into your great family, into your kingdom, that people might come to know and experience Jesus' love for themselves. We pray for the communities in and around Kingsthorpe, neighbourhoods where we live. We take a moment to bring prayers of our own. Prayers for particular things that are on our hearts and minds. Join together in some brief prayers of thanksgiving. At the end of each little series, we respond together. We give you thanks, O God. We give you thanks, O God, for those who've lifted us, for those who've challenged us, for those who've walked with us this week. We give you thanks, O God, for all that you can do within us, for all that you can do without us. We give you thanks, O God, for all in whom Christ lived before us, for all in whom Christ lives beside us. We give you thanks, O God, for all the Spirit wants to bring us, for where the Spirit wants to send us. We give you thanks, O God. Joining our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught his followers, we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In the Transfiguration, it was revealed to the disciples that Jesus was so much more than just an amazing man. He was the truly beloved Son of God, and that shone through. Our final hymn together, Crown Him with Many Crowns. You've all been unmuted. Let's share in the grace together. Just keep going, even if it's a bit of a cacophony. It's rather lovely. So,
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the Holy Spirit be with us all forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.